It's official. Ruben Amorim will take charge of Manchester United as head coach from November the 11th. We have 10 days-ish to wait. We have three matches to wait. Chelsea are coming up. PAOK are coming up. And Leicester City are coming up for Ruud van Nistelrooy in interim head coach position before the permanent head coach is appointed and sits in his seat, gets on the training pitch and starts directing matters on the training ground and trying to pick results, mood and everything around Manchester United back up from 14th place in the league, from 21st in the Europa League. You'd think, you'd hope the only way is up from here. But Ruben Amorim is now Manchester United's new head coach. He will join, as I say, on November the 11th. It has taken a buyout of 10 million euros plus a further 1 million, if I get this right, further 1 million euros is believed to have been paid as compensation for Sporting to waive Amorim's 30-day notice period. So yes, he was initially meant to stay and work through a 30-day notice period, but obviously that does not work for Manchester United, who need a new figurehead at the top as soon as possible because, you know, speculation will continue. There are fixtures coming thick and fast. And I think it's the right time, to be honest. There's an international break coming up in the middle of this month. Usually pretty miserable for those who love club football. Unless you kind of, you're at that point where you really need a break from Man United losing all the time. But, you know, he will get his feet on that training pitch on the 11th of November and have a couple of weeks then to work with the players that are in camp and not on international duty before his first game at Ipswich on the 24th of November. Big day, efficient-ish week, I would say, for Manchester United. Obviously made the news official that Erik ten Hag was not going to be manager anymore. Amorim was approached essentially the next day. Sporting made that abundantly clear that that was happening. And then it was just a matter of time, really. Dotting the I's, crossing the T's, and a bit of courtesy, I think, has been shown here as well. Because as I record this on Friday afternoon, it's about 4:30 my time. Sporting do have a game in 4 hours' time. They had a game on Tuesday night as well. And they do play Manchester City in the Champions League next week. So we should be able to get a good look at how his Sporting side plays against English teams before he joins the Premier League, which is quite exciting. Hopefully doesn't lose 7-0 to Man City and then everyone says, oh no, this guy's a fraud, because that would be suboptimal. But anyway, this deal is done. So I thought it would be good for me to jump on a podcast and talk about it. There are some things which are quite noticeable and may indicate a change of path and a change of plan and a change potentially in Manchester United's trajectory. Maybe if things go right. But anyway, that's what I want to talk about today. I'll share my thoughts on it. I'm Scott from the Promised Land podcast. Please subscribe to the channel on Apple and Spotify and YouTube as well. Get in the comments if you're watching on YouTube. Let me know what you think about this Ruben Amorim news. I will be delighted to hear it. It's a good day. And yeah, subscribe to that channel. And follow me on social as well, at @_ScottSaunders on X, Instagram, and TikTok. There are some maybe different things I can share with you guys today. If you've been listening for a while and you've been still listening to the podcast, obviously it's been going for a long time now, but a little bit delayed today because I have some new responsibilities and a new job, in a sense. I've just changed jobs, which is quite fun. So essentially, I can maybe use this podcast now to plug what I've written. So if you're listening to me talk about in the next half an hour, Ruben Amorim's appointment as head coach and why that might be different, you can also now read that on Sports Illustrated, because I have written that piece, not that piece and what I'm talking about here, but the sentiment is the same. So I've written a column, my first column. It's November 1st, like Manchester United's new head coach. I've got a new role and responsibility now. And some of that, or one part of that responsibility, is to deliver Premier League or big football news columns a couple of times a week for Sports Illustrated Soccer. So how exciting. I've written that. I'll leave the link in the description as well. If you'd like to read that, please do. I'll be tweeting it as well at some point after this podcast goes live. So fingers crossed it's well received. And, you know, I kind of wanted to show or tell the world a little bit about why Man United managers keep failing all the time, because people don't seem to like the context. But maybe you've got to look a little bit deeper than just the manager themselves. And now there may be a structure in place which allows a head coach or a manager to become the best version of themselves and therefore get the best versions of the players out of the players that he's got. So look, I'll put the link in that description. Please read it if you like. Drop a comment. If I will tweet it as well. I would really appreciate the support and a retweet on that when I do post it. It should be, as you're listening to this, it should be live, I would imagine. So please do, at @_ScottSaunders on X is likely where it'll go, and on Instagram as well. So yeah, exciting, but a little bit delayed with the pod today because I've been having to coherently put my thoughts together for an article, which is, for those of you who don't know, how I started out in football media. And, you know, it's kind of nice to flex those muscles again because I've done a lot of talking over the last few years and a lot of video, but I think I get to do video, social, and some article columns for Sports Illustrated as well as we move forward. So very, very exciting. And it was good to be able to write the first one about Manchester United, even though all of them won't be about Manchester United all the time. I will try my best, but I don't think I'll be able to get away with that. Anyway, right. So Ruben Amorim is in as Manchester United's new head coach. And I think the title of this may be Why This Time Could Be Different. Why This Time Could Be Different. I know we say that all the time, but there is fundamental change which has happened, which might mean that finally this time it could be different. We will have to wait and see, but there's cautious optimism, I think, around United and around the fan base that, look, we've all been burned, we've all been scarred by the awful trouble that's happened in the past, seeing players down tools for managers, seeing managers come up short in big matches, seeing, you know, just endless cycles of failure, regardless of who the manager is. We've seen players join the club, enter a talent vacuum, and then be spat out like nobody's business and never be the same player. We've seen players leave the club and become twice the player that they were in a Man United shirt. It's weird, isn't it? It's weird. But is it that weird? Really? Or have United just been run absolutely terribly for a long, long time? I think it's more the latter. And what Ineos have done, and why I'm so big on this takeover in the first place, when Rob and I would discuss like what the best option was. Was it Qatar? Was it Jim Ratcliffe? What would be the best way? I think we both quickly came to the conclusion that this is the right way to go. And look, there isn't unlimited money. There's not. But if you're a top club nowadays, but you're the size of Manchester United, really, I don't think you need all that. I don't think you need unlimited state wealth to be able to get back to the top. You're not going to spend enough money and spend it terribly. So spend the money a bit better. I think that should be the first port of call. And look, it's taken 11 years for significant decisions and the right people to be put in place to employ a head coach or employ a manager in the image of the people who want to run the club and play a certain way. There's been what United have done in the past. Obviously, we all know I'm treading all ground here, but look, I think it's important in the context of what I'm trying to say. The Glazer family put a banker in charge of running the football operation. Ed Woodward was not a football guy. And he was the one that decided, I want to go and appoint the flashiest name or sign the flashiest player for the most money. And that quote that will always follow him round, commercial performance is not impacted by on-field results. I'm paraphrasing, but I keep coming back to that. That was the attitude at the top of the tree of Manchester United for 9 years. I think, obviously, I think Woodward left in 2021, but then it was his responsibility was passed over to Richard Arnold, who is essentially Ed Woodward's one of his good mates and former colleagues. So look, there wasn't fundamental change there, which was made. And United kept making the same mistakes over and over again, spending lots of money on players who were not the right character to be Manchester United players, who didn't have the right interests at heart, who did not want to represent the football club and represent its history and represent all it means to be a Manchester United player. They spent a hell of a lot of money. They're digging themselves into a deeper and deeper hole. And it's ultimately ended up with them being 14th in the league. The lowest it's been. But look, this is not irreversible. That league position anyway. But if United had kept going down that path of cycling through manager to manager, cycling from one style of play to another, this kind of thing, with people in charge who didn't know what they were doing, then yes, this hole might have been a hole that they would never have dug themselves out of. But like, look, there is optimism today that finally we are now seeing, and what I think we are now seeing from November the 11th onwards is the structure that Ineos have wanted to put in place from the very beginning. They've got criticism for sticking with Erik ten Hag, obviously, through the end of last season. But I sat here and I said, I think there were mitigating factors in the season that he had with the injuries. And obviously, he showed that he could win an FA Cup final game against the best team in the world in Manchester City, or one of them, on a one-off day. So if you can win trophies and two trophies in two seasons, surely that's a quality you've got to consider as a Man United manager. And I think maybe Ineos, with the sentiment around Erik ten Hag, I say Ineos, you know, the decision makers in that team, I think they felt the swell of support for the manager. And I think what most people who were on that side of things and wanted ten Hag to get a chance, it was simply from the direction of, look, we all know the problems that United have had for the past 10 years, 11 years, and no manager has ever really had the option or the ability to work in a structure which functions. So why not give Erik ten Hag, who's won a trophy in each of his first two seasons, a chance to do that? And look, right? I don't, like, for me, this is my personal opinion, I don't regret, I'm not going to go back on that. I wanted to see Erik ten Hag have a chance because I felt like there were factors which meant that he should get a third go at it, a third season at it, because he had one good season, one bad. Obviously, if you were out of the camp to keep Ten Hag in long before that, then completely fine. That is everybody's prerogative, is everybody's opinion. But what I'm trying to do here is express my opinion and maybe get in the shoes of what they were thinking when they made this decision to keep him. They obviously spoke to other managers and other people, but ultimately decided then that Ten Hag was the best coach for them. Didn't last long, but it didn't last long. So look, I think what happened was Erik ten Hag was given a chance, and look, he didn't take the chance in the third year. And it looks as simple as that. They've lost a few games at the start of the season. They've had a poor start to the season, but it's not irretrievable. United were never going to win the league this season anyway. And look, I think now it's time that we look at this and we think, now it starts. Well, from the 11th of November is when it starts. But obviously, Ruud van Nistelrooy is in place. United have been in the Carabao Cup in the week and beat Leicester 5-2. The inevitable jokes about these players couldn't score for Toffee when Erik ten Hag was in charge, and then they go and score four goals or five goals in like 60-odd minutes or whatever. Four goals in the first half, I think it was, in the first game after he's left. It's kind of funny. We might see a bit of new manager bounce with Ruud there, but obviously there's a difficult game at the weekend against Chelsea, and it's nice to see Ruud on the touchline. But obviously, I think something that Ineos have done here is they've not allowed the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer interim situation to become a situation. They have looked at the market and they have found probably the best coach who was gettable, and they have got him within the space of a few days. He might be starting on the 11th of November, but I think they've done it efficiently and, according to reports, respectfully. It's upset some at Sporting, obviously, but, you know, this is football, right? And they have made the decision that this is the right thing to do, and I think it is the right thing to do. And now we turn the page, we wait for Ruben Amorim to come in, and we see what he changes and what he does, because, look, it's going to take some getting used to. The 3-4-2-1 is a thing. I don't know if you've been frantically looking around and like watching old Sporting Lisbon videos and this kind of thing, or tactical breakdowns of how what you can expect to see. You know, that's been everywhere across social media over the last few days. And obviously it should, because there's a lot of keen interest in it. And look, I'm just excited to see what could happen with this system. I do think there's a lot of players in this squad that could maybe benefit from this kind of system, that could maybe benefit from the solid style that maybe we can see from this. But that's not to say, I'm not saying solid in a bad manner. That could mean that there's a strong base there. And the base, if anything, outside of Ten Hag's first season, was the problem with United. They were so easy to play against. First thing to do, don't be easy to play against. So I think that'll be, Amorim's first port of call. And I think he'll do that early on. And maybe we could see some players pop up in some positions which we didn't expect to see them in. And it gives everybody a new lease of life. It gives a fresh boost of confidence. And look, I think these players get a hell of a lot of stick for not being very good and not being of the required quality to play for Manchester United. But I do think a lot of people are guilty. I'm not saying if you're watching this, I'm not saying you, but we do tend to judge things on recency bias, and we seem to think that, you know, this player isn't good enough. A lot of these players were good enough somewhere else to be brought to United in the first place. So you can only see with Sunday's opponents, Chelsea, the conversation around Chelsea last season was, this is a disaster. And now, look, they've changed their coach. Unpopular decision at the time, but I think Chelsea are playing quite well at the moment. They could do damage to United at the weekend as well. Let's be real. It's a difficult game for United, but also one that is winnable as well, because United do have a lot of attacking power and a lot of threat. And if they can harness that and put it to good use, then look, it could be an entertaining game. I don't think this will be 0-0. Let's just say that. But it's a fresh start for these players. We're mid-season, no transfer window, so this is a clean slate for a lot of these guys. And I understand that there are some who maybe think that there are players in this team who've outlasted a bunch of different managers, and there's still, I think this was a problem in the past, by the way, still some players in the team who, you know, were maybe not good for the culture. And I do think there's a cultural malaise which has taken over United over the last few years. But I will say this, I think, does anybody say this? I don't know. But I think Erik ten Hag always acted with the intention of correcting the culture in his own mind. The way that he was heavily disciplinarian. He ticked off a lot of people for some of the decisions that he made. Maybe the way he communicated things was not so good, but that was a flag that was obviously waved really early on. And even in his interview with Tottenham a year before, I think that was picked up as one of the potential red flags on him in getting that job. So, look, I think Erik ten Hag, maybe I'll mention him in future, but I always think he acted in the best interest of the football club. And people might disagree with that with some of the signings and the controversy around agencies and that kind of thing. But, look, I always got the feeling from him that he wanted to implement discipline, and he wanted to implement something more regimented in a sense, and get players on side and get them to fall in line and get them following the process, as he always used to say. But I think where his team would fall down is often where the process wasn't followed. One player, and we often saw that it was a deck of cards, wasn't it? Very, very fragile. If something goes wrong, then everything seems to go wrong. And that ultimately was too fragile for Ten Hag to sustain. He hadn't long enough to make it work, and I don't think he ever really did. So, look, it's a fresh start. Wish the best to Erik ten Hag, by the way. I saw there was a picture the other day of him out with his dad in, like, going for a walk, and I'm like, what, guys, just leave him alone. Honestly. Like, you really need to go and take pictures of him? Just leave him in private. Leave him. It's so annoying, but you know, that's the life nowadays. That's the demand around a Manchester United job. That's the interest levels that you get in it. And it's a little bit repugnant, really. But look, Ruben Amorim is the next guy who will come in. And look, I think what I wanted to get into, the meat of the show today, really, was, I've been going 20 minutes, but the meat of the show today was the fact that this now is different because it is different because of the title that Ruben Amorim has. Ruben Amorim is the head coach. He is the first men's head coach of the first team United have ever had. Mark Skinner is the head coach of the women's team. And that is something that Ineos have looked to do since the very beginning. Erik ten Hag extended his contract in the summer, but it was extended because the option in his deal, which is similar to what Ruben Amorim has in his, the option in his deal was triggered by a year on the same terms as what he signed when he joined the club under John Murtagh and Richard Arnold. And that was as manager. So obviously we have seen lots and lots and lots of criticism for the amount of money United have spent on players, the repeated going back to Ajax and buying their players, and the joke being United gave Ajax 300 million and then they sacked Ten Hag and gave him 17 million in compensation. And now they're all going to go back to Ajax and laugh it off with all United's money. You know, that is not how you run a football club, really. And yes, maybe Ineos did indulge Ten Hag a little bit with that in the summer with the signings of Matthijs de Ligt and Nusair Mazraoui. But for me, I think both of them have come in and they've looked pretty good, really. They're all workable. There's obviously some other players, I'm not naming any names here, but they've turned into unmitigated expensive disasters. But the difference here, Erik ten Hag was manager. Manchester United have now appointed Ruben Amorim as head coach. Now, that is significant because it seems to me, United haven't specified this specifically, but it seems like United's structure above the team has now modernized. It has become modern day. It's become a modern day football club. And what you have now is you have A, owners or people in charge of the football operation from the very top interested in making the team win, which is a hell of a start, and goes quite far away from the approach previously of getting the Champions League, keep the money ticking over. Jim Ratcliffe is in charge and he wants to bring Manchester United back to the top of football in the Premier League. It's United's 150th anniversary in 2028. Ruben Amorim is signed till 2027 with an option for a further year. That leaves Ruben Amorim, if he sees out his entire contract, in the job until 2028 when they want to win the league. They are going, they've looked at Ruben Amorim and they thought this guy can come in, work in our structure and be the guy finally to turn this around. The league position at the moment looks absolutely dire, but I honestly, and maybe, look, get in the comments. If you disagree with this, then please do let me know that you disagree with it. I don't think United are in their worst position that they have been in the last, or since 2013. I think there's been way worse than this. Way, way worse. The position's bad. The form's been bad. But the average age of the team is pretty good. There's some really strong young players coming through the academy. Really good. The academy has been fixed. Really good. There's still more to come as well. A lot of the first team players in the team are quite young and able to be molded into better versions of themselves, providing they have the right environment to play in and train in and have the right coaching to maximize their potential. And I think this is a thing, really, where, look, if United win their next two and then go to Ipswich and win Amorim's first game and they take 9 points, they're not 14th in the league anymore. They're going to be pushing top six. So it can change around really quickly. It can. And it looks like, well, it is the case that Ruben Amorim has been picked to be the guy to continue on that journey. I think Ten Hag, maybe when we look back on this in a year or two, as we do, as people do with a lot of managers, I've even seen that Jose Mourinho's era gets praise. Obviously, I know there's a lot of people who are pro Ollie. It got terrible towards the end, but people look back and yearn for those days back now because of how it made them feel. But look, this guy, what United have got here now is one of the most tactically flexible, brightest young minds. He's 39 years old, brightest young minds in European football. And they've given him a squad of players, which there's definitely going to be some players who don't fit this, but his task, his MO here, is to look at this team and work with this team and get the best out of the team of players that he's got. It is now Ineos's job above him, Dan Ashworth's job, Jason Wilcox's job, Omar Berada's job, to make sure that the environment is cleaned up and the environment is good and not prohibitive and good to allow everybody within this team structure, from the head coach through the coaches, through the players, through the youth, to give them an environment to foster success, to give them all the tools that they need to get the best out of themselves. United have not had an environment like that in 11 years. That's why I think this is different this time. And look, obviously, we know the jokes that will come in. Oh, every 2-3 years, United are the same. You get all hyped up at the beginning, and then look, United just end up failing because that's what they always do. And so they strip away the context of how it's changed above the manager or the head coach in this case. They strip the context away of the difference in personnel, of the difference in know-how, knowledge. This week, I don't know if you saw this, but I tweeted it on Thursday night. Manchester United were approached by Newcastle for, this is according to Craig Hope, I believe, from the Mail. Newcastle want one of Man United's senior analysts. What's happening? Dan Ashworth, the subject of Newcastle United's gardening leave. Look how awkward Newcastle made that to get Dan Ashworth out of that club. They're giving them a taste of their own medicine. That analyst has to wait on gardening leave to join Newcastle because it's petty as hell. I love it. It's petty. I love it. It shows you mess with us, we'll mess back with you, so you won't do it again. Let's do business properly. United ended up winning that long negotiation anyway. Newcastle wanted 10, 20 million or whatever it was. And maybe previously, although I don't think we would have ever got to the point where they employed a sporting director, previously the old ownership would probably have paid that money. But United waited it out and it worked in their favor. They just had to wait a little bit of time. But eventually Dan Ashworth came in. And I think will make a long-term difference. You could argue that the fact that that was dragged out meant that they made the wrong decision on the manager. Yes, fine, but you can't move mountains in a couple of days. This is a long game here. I'm just mentioned 2028. It will take time, but Ruben Amorim has been installed, and look, he is. I'm not going to go too deep into his tactics because I think you can get that way better than I'll ever give it to you in other places. I'm interested to see how that will go. All I know is we can maybe expect a back three, some wing backs, and a couple of players tucked in behind a striker with some maybe Kobbie Mainoo and Mamadou Gartey looking like the optimal midfielders, and maybe United continue to build on that system. I do think there's a lot of players in this team, though, who are suited to this, and we can maybe move forward seeing different sides of players that we haven't seen different sides of for a long time, or if ever. You know, so look, the fact that this has changed to head coach means this, what it signifies to me is, look, you're the head coach, you coach, go and coach and get the best out of the players that you've got. We will do the rest. We will work with you. If there's a player that you want, great. We'll still be in tandem with that. We'll, no club, and I'm sure that these guys who are making these decisions on which players are brought in are not going to force players on the head coach because they're all experienced professionals. It's a working relationship, but Erik ten Hag obviously got a lot of criticism for the players that he pushed to sign. What United have done here is bring one of Europe's brightest young coaches into a structure, which means that if that young coach doesn't work, and look, it might not. Ruben Amorim might not work. I think it would be irresponsible in the sense to say that it will. But what they're doing here, they're giving him a 2.5-year contract. Now it's your time to shine. We will do everything that we can to foster the best environment for you to get the best out of your players. If it doesn't work, though, we will not be hamstrung to the same problems that we've had previously of jumping from philosophy to philosophy, from manager to manager. It will be more of a seamless transition, and you'd probably think that, let's say Ruben Amorim is gone in 2 years, they will look to sign somebody of a similar profile to Ruben Amorim or to Erik ten Hag. I know people might criticize me for saying that they're similar, but look, in the sense of what United have looked for in the last two appointments, it's Europe's brightest young coach who has attacking football principles and has done it in the Champions League or in Europe and won domestic titles in a weaker league. Look, there's a lot of similarities between them, even though they may be different. They may be different in how they communicate. One might have more aura than the other. People love that word, aura, nowadays. But United have changed the structure, and Ruben Amorim is coming in, I think, to me, and I wrote this in the piece that I put out on Sports Illustrated earlier. I think he's got a better chance than anybody before him across 11 years to fix this ship before it sinks for good. That's an extract of what I wrote. But there's no guarantee that will work, and this will be a success. But with all of the support structure that he's got around him, he's coming into a finished unit, in a sense. It's not going to miraculously turn around straight away. I don't think Man United are going to go win the league this year or next year, but it's about getting on the right path. It's about building towards the future slowly and making sure that you put in place good habits, good processes, and employ the right personalities to be able to perform to their best. And look, it's a really exciting appointment. I do get that there's some people look at this and think, oh, they're just cycling through another one. But look, if you're a United fan, you know the problems that United have had. I've spent half an hour talking about them, but look, everyone can agree those are problems. What I think now is that there have been fundamental changes above that head coach and above that manager to be able to give that person the best possible chance of succeeding and the best possible chance to bring the players along with them. What Erik ten Hag did, and look, there are differing opinions on whether he was right with certain things, but I've said it earlier, he brought discipline with him. People might not have liked it, but when Erik ten Hag was appointed, United needed discipline. They did. If anything, he did it too badly. Like he was too harsh. And because he didn't have the support outside of him, you know, if you're taking on Ronaldo, for example, and he walks off the bench in the middle of a game which you're winning, and it was that Tottenham game, United won 2-0, I think, and it was probably the best performance they put in under Erik ten Hag to that point. Maybe one of the best performances they ever actually put in under ten Hag. Ronaldo then walks off at the end, and then suspension or like punishment, and then he goes on Piers Morgan and says that standards are not right and that the facilities are useless and they haven't changed in 12 years, 11 years, or whatever it's been. But what that team needed at that point was discipline. Ten Hag was bringing discipline, but because the character within the team that had been assembled over the past few years, because of that character that had kind of, I think that needed to be changed, because of that character, because of the continual downing of tools under different managers. There was Mourinho, there was Oli, there was then Ralph, that 6 months under Ralph Rangnick as well. Awful, absolutely awful. I remember watching that and being so bored and like, yeah, maybe it's the same with Ten Hag, but I don't think that has happened this time. I don't think the players have downed tools this time. So I think what Erik ten Hag has done is come in and be disciplined, so disciplined to the point where he might have alienated other players. Sancho, in the Sancho case, I was always on Ten Hag's side with Sancho, but completely see the other side of it as well. Maybe he was too harsh. And then Sancho has friends in the dressing room. If Jadon Sancho is upset and he ends up leaving the club or suspended or excluded, and maybe it's over the top, and maybe that will then indicate to his mates and to the players around him who are still there, I don't like this guy anymore. I don't think United's players ever really got to the point where they dropped tools and down tools at this point. I always think they tried to apply themselves. Maybe in moments they slipped off, and that's a concentration thing. But look, I think it's that aspect of things is in a better place now than it really has been in a long time. And Amorim is also known for his discipline. Maybe he will just be able to convey what he's saying in a slightly more favorable way, which won't tick players off quite as much. But what also happens here now, which Ten Hag didn't have, is if someone ticks off Amorim or they're not doing what he's asking, he now has a team of people to take care of that for him. He doesn't have to do it himself and undermine his relationships with other players. That's why it's different. I'm not saying it will end up different, but the differences are in the semantic, in the responsibilities and the semantics here. Head coach versus manager. Structure one, over Ten Hag versus structure now, structure two, which Amorim will work with. It hasn't worked for Ten Hag in this structure, but it's a better structure now to be able to give a person in charge of this group of players and the players themselves the best chance of succeeding. And maybe they'll stop spending money so irresponsibly as well. That's important as well. Lots of transfer stuff. You'll see the inevitable links with Sporting's top five greatest players from the Amorim era. And obviously, you know, that's just media junk. Maybe there will be legitimate interest in some players, but Amorim has been really good for getting the best out of his players at all of his previous clubs, and that's why he's here. So let's make sure that he can do it in this Manchester United job, and let's make sure that he has all the conditions possible to be able to do it to his best ability. I've said it a few times, but fingers crossed this is different this time. So that's kind of my thoughts on that situation. I've been running for 37 and a half minutes. If you haven't subscribed to the show already, please do. Apple and Spotify, and on YouTube as well, The Promised Land, a Manchester United podcast, and follow me on social as well at @_ScottSaunders on X, Instagram, and TikTok. And obviously, quick word for Ruud as well. Ruud van Nistelrooy has been in. He will get 4 games. Are they all at Old Trafford? I think they are all at Old Trafford. Beat Leicester 5-2 in the League Cup the other night. Lovely result. Lots of nice goals. Funny how you see a deflected free kick go in on the day that the interim manager comes in, isn't it? You know, I couldn't buy a goal two, three days previous to that. But then you shoot a goal, it deflects in. A shot that looked to be going wide to me, I don't know, deflects in off the wall and goes into the net. It's funny how things work. But really happy for Ruud van Nistelrooy, who's been given this short stint in charge of the team. He's obviously been confirmed today as in charge for that game against Leicester, the game against PAOK in the Europa League in midweek next week, the Chelsea game this Sunday, and the Leicester game next week as well. So it's a good opportunity for Ruud van Nistelrooy. I'm sure maybe there was probably some hope that Ruud van Nistelrooy had that he'd be able to get a longer chance. But look, I cannot be making that same judgment again with a former player and falling into that trap of past love, you know, that kind of thing. It's a nice opportunity for Ruud van Nistelrooy, and fingers crossed, the elevation in mood and that kind of thing that will inevitably come with the change of a manager. Fingers crossed he can harness that into some good results in all of those competitions. And look, the Chelsea game will be difficult at the weekend, but it's a better condition for him. I just think, look, I watched the Leicester game the other night. It was enjoyable. It was fun. There were lots of chances created, but I think the defending was a little bit suspect. And if you defend terribly against Chelsea, they're good enough to be able to open you up. So look, fingers crossed, United can be take 3 points on Sunday. It'd be great. I'm sure that Ruud van Nistelrooy will be hoping that he takes all of the maximums from all of those games that he gets in charge. And look, he said in his post-match press conference that he'd go back to his assistant contract. And we'll see. But obviously, there's no announcements as yet, as I record this, that have been made about the coaching staff that will come in, even though it's reported that there will be that Amorim will bring five different coaching members from Sporting with him to implement his ideas, obviously. Where Ruud van Nistelrooy fits in that, I'm not sure. I'm sure we will get some confirmation at some point soon, in the next week or two. I do hope he stays around, and if he wants to stay around as well, that would be great, which he's already said. But obviously, Ruud van Nistelrooy turned down managerial jobs at other clubs to take this job because he wanted to come back. So let's hope that he can fit back into that. And let's hope that United are better off over the next few games, go into the international break off the back of a few good results, and then you come in with a new manager with new ideas. And fingers crossed, the uptrend can continue. It's a shame that it's ended for Erik ten Hag how it has, but it was unquestionably the right decision to make that choice. And now, you know, I move on. And look, I've spent 40-odd minutes here running through my thoughts on why this time it could be different. I'm sure that is what I will call it, this episode. But look, there is no guarantee that this will work. But things have changed. If this one doesn't work, in 3 years' time, maybe United will be in a better position because of the decisions that they have made above the manager or the head coach in this case. Maybe they will be better off and better placed to be able to transition a little bit smoother. The questions over, will these players be able to play for this manager or this head coach? They won't be so relevant because they will be signing players who fit the profiles of the managers that they want to hire or the head coaches they want to hire. I'm still saying manager, it's habit, but it's head coach. It looks like that trend is going to continue as well. So look, plenty of thoughts there. But look, it's a new era for Manchester United. Ruben Amorim is the guy in charge, and I'll sign off here. You can subscribe obviously on all the platforms that I just mentioned, audio and YouTube as well, and follow me on @_ScottSaunders on all the social channels that I just mentioned a couple of minutes ago. But I will finish off with the line of the article that I've written. I'd love you to read it. It's in the description. Please do, if you would like to have a read of what I've just said in words, word format, article format. It's not word for word, obviously, but, you know, it's the same sentiment. So any support I could get on that would be fantastic. I'd really, really appreciate it. The title of that piece, "The Manchester United Manager is Dead. Long live the head coach." That is basically where I'm going to leave it, because United have a new head coach in Ruben Amorim. I've been Scott Saunders for the Promised Land podcast. Until next time, everyone, fingers crossed for a good result against Chelsea. I will see you after that game to talk about it and talk about anything else that is in the Manchester United realm. But thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, if you've been watching on YouTube as well. And I will see you soon in the next one. Until next time, Scott from the Promised Land podcast.
Ohio seniors, make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. Enroll by December 7th.